Let me in. Shiba chiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba chiba. Open up your soul. Shiba chiba. Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. Now, as you know, there are a lot of people in San Francisco from all walks of life who all could do with a little bit of help now and then. And there are so many people who want to be that person, to reach out a helping hand and help people. One of those people is here today to talk about Charity Services Cultural Center. I'd like to welcome Executive Director Ashley Cheng. Hello.
Hi, Marilyn. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. Now, I had never heard of Charity Services Cultural Center, so can you give us a little bit of background about the organization?
Sure, I'd love to. So Charity Cultural Services Center is established in 1984. Mm-hmm. The first office is in Chinatown. Primarily, the purpose was to serve the new immigrants who first migrated to San Francisco and were lack of skills, language ability, and mm-hmm. are looking for work to sustain themselves in the city. So we have since, it's been 41 years now since our first established, mm-hmm. and we've developed from hospitality programs to construction programs, to giving them skills and ability to sustain themselves and providing jobs and mentoring.
So what were some of the challenges, the unique challenges of the Chinese immigrant community versus other communities?
Well, first of all, when they first immigrated to the U.S., language is the first barrier that they would encounter, mm-hmm. and then eventually they would come across finding housing. And then also I think the cultural shock is a very big thing, too, as their kids are getting ready to go to school, and it's a totally different environment from what they came from.
So, what were some of the big culture shocks? Because you know we're born into it, so it's just we don't think about any of these things.
Right. So I think that in most of the immigrants that I've talked to that I come across, I was an immigrant myself. So mm-hmm. I remember moving to San Francisco at the age of 12. And when I first stepped into the school, the environment is so different that you can you're been asked to perform, like to study on your own a lot. You were given books to read, and it's up to you to read or not, right?
Uh-huh.
But I think in some of the other countries, it's more strict, and you do a lot of work, you know, by yourself, and your parents will be on your back a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But on here, it's totally up to you. Learning is of your own, and the teachers are there to encourage you, but not forcing you. So I think that's one of the major difference, I felt like. So the responsibility of learning is on the students a lot.
Okay. And so when you ran across that, how did your parents respond to the fact that you were more, you know, like self-motivated as opposed to the teachers driving you?
It's very different for them because they can no longer help me once they moved here because the language is such a big barrier.
Got it.
They couldn't help me. That's the thing. And so I've come across a lot of freedom, you know, suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you're confused and don't know what you're missing or what you're lagging behind in learning, you don't know how to catch up neither.
Right.
But luckily for me, I had some good teachers and I have some good good friends that had came here before me and mm-hmm. was able to lend me some helping hands. And I found a lot of mentors along the way. And I've heard some good programs in school and both of my friends, mm-hmm. I think some of which was CCSC. So I remember that. And so this now that I'm educated myself and I've been working, and I've come across this wonderful opportunity to give back, and that is why I'm here. And I wanted to bring more of that to the people who needed this.
So how did you get involved with the Charity Services Cultural Center, and how long ago?
It's 2020, since 2020, right at the onset of the pandemic, actually.
Okay. Oh, that had to have been challenging because you have these services, but you can't go anywhere.
Right. That was an unforgettable time, and it was a tough period for a lot of people, a lot of confusion. But, you know, as we're moving into that unknown territory, but I think, once again, being an immigrant myself, kind of my experience has helped me navigate through all of this, because when I first came, I was a totally new territory also. Don't know what to expect. Same thing, and I kind of apply that to this role here. When we moved on to pandemic, from all in person to all of a sudden all shut down, all virtual, we just kind of have to exercise our experience of being an immigrant to trying to navigate these things, trying to find resources, again, connecting to our community to see what works, and
So what have been some of the things you guys do that have worked, and what are some of the programs that you offer?
So one of our signature program is the Culinary and Hospitality Program. We do, in culinary side, we do have the Japanese cooking, Chinese cooking, Western cooking, bartending, as well as table waiting and barista. And on the construction side, we have a city build is also another one of our signature program. What we found, our predecessors found, that the immigrants tend to their first jobs tend to be either in hospitality or in construction.
Is that sort of across the board for immigrants?
I think that's the lowest threshold for a lot of them, right? And plus, because we're in San Francisco, we're unique to a lot of restaurants and tourism.
Yes.
And so that has become an easy stepping stone to get into the labor market. And construction, because San Francisco has so many old houses, right? And so there's just a lot of renovation that needs to be done. And then recently we've seen a lot of new buildings and, you know, infrastructure that needs to be improved as well. And those are definitely opportunities, and the immigrants find easier to get into, or certainly inclined to get into.
Now, are the language barriers still there when they get into these programs, or are they getting into programs where the people that they're working with actually are able to speak Chinese or Japanese, or in whichever dialect of Chinese they speak?
No, definitely. Language is a tough one to get through, because it takes a long time for people to learn a new language.
Yes.
It's on a lot of on-hand learning too. I mean, we're not only teaching them the hard skills of how to be a cook, for example, or how to use tools and how to be on a job site, but we're also teaching them soft skills. And so language is the thing that we try to teach before the class too. Some of it is the job readiness program, and we not only just train them on hard skills, we're also training them on preparing them to being able to employ. So we help them with their resumes, and, you know, certainly during the course of itself, we try to teach them some of the basics of their vocational languages as well. And obviously, whenever they have gone into their first job, they usually become a fan of ours and keep on coming back and letting us know once they get promoted, or they're switching on to other jobs, or they want to upskill themselves. So we've been developing a huge community just on, you know, being here for 40 years.
Well, that's great.
And they always come back as a circle of support for them.
So does that mean that the people who've been in the program, they tell two friends and they tell two friends, and so because I would imagine there's kind of a trust issue that happens when you're an immigrant because of those barriers.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, our program thrives on a lot of it, on word of mouth. People, you know, because they've already lack of skills or lack of resources, once they have success into one of our programs, they tend to share with others in their community as well, and that's how we become a viable program and really robust in that way.
So now I have a question. So you said you're an immigrant. What country did you come from?
In China.
Okay, so I know that Chinese is a tonal language. So what were some of the challenges when you got here in learning the language structurally? Because I'm not familiar with Chinese. So, but I know that there's a big enough difference that it's challenging going in either direction.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We would describe, first of all, we would write characters as opposed to writing letters, right?
Okay,
characters is very, you can't really sound it out, but you kind of, it's like drawing a picture, right?
Sure.
Each character.
Okay.
But English, it's something that you can sound it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that itself totally different from there. And I was thinking in Chinese too, the grammar is all totally different because we mentioned, we have, you just say a pen or a cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think in Chinese language, we describe each with an adjective or a description of each.
Oh.
Yeah, so like each, say, like a head of lettuce, right?
Uh-huh.
A head of lettuce.
Yeah.
What else? A basket of fruit. It's so each one would have its own description of what that is.
And would it have its own character, like?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Of something. Yes.
All right. So, well, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of linguistics. So, I'll come back to the programs that you offer. What are some of the programs, and how do people get involved in the programs? How do people access these programs?
Oh, great. Great question. So, for the construction program, CityBuild is a free 12-week construction apprenticeship training for San Francisco residents. And so usually it takes two cycles a year. So there's a spring and the fall cycle.
Mm-hmm.
We're actively recruiting for the fall cycle right now. So if people who are definitely interested, feel free to log on to our website, www.sfccsc.org,
mm-hmm.
Or feel free to call us at 415-989-8224. And the prompt will bring you to a construction program if that's you're interested. And the culinary program, hospitality program, are differ depending on which program you're interested among the four that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So it could range from 10 weeks to 18 weeks.
Okay. And are you recruiting for those as well?
Yes. It's an ongoing basis. Same thing. They can log on to sfccsc.org. Then just click on the culinary program or call us again at 415-989-8224.
Now, if you have people who are interested in the program, but they are a little bit like their English may be very much lacking and they may be hesitant to call in, do you have people who can communicate with them in different languages?
Yes. All of our staff are bilingual and bicultural. Just because of the clients that we serve. And so they're very open to seeing where you are and finding out things that can fit your needs.
Okay, so what languages do you actively support for people who may want to call in and find out about the programs?
So we have Cantonese, Mandarin, Spanish, Japanese, Vietnamese, and Burma.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Great. That's great. That's pretty cool. And if they go on the website, is it primarily in English or can you find it in other languages?
It's currently mostly in English.
Okay.
We are working on a website to update it to different languages, too. We're ready to launch it, hopefully, later on this year.
Okay. All right. And so once again, for our listening audience who's interested in the programs that you're offering, how do they contact you? What's the phone number? What is the website? Is there a drop-in facility that they can do?
Yes, they can either call in or drop in person. Mm-hmm. Once again, the website is sfccsc.org, and the phone number is 415-989-8224. Mm-hmm. In all locations, we actually have two offices. We, in 2023, we've expanded to the Bayview Southeast Community Center as well. So we do have two offices now. Our expansion primarily is to serve the clients that live more in the Bayview area. Mm-hmm. So we do see a lot of immigrants there. So again, if people wanted to drop in person to find out more, mm-hmm. Where our address is the 735 Commercial Street in San Francisco, mm-hmm. or 1550 at Evans Avenue.
Excellent.
But it's best to have them call in first so that sure that we have a case manager there to answer their questions if there's any.
And they can request, they'll be able to request what language they feel the most comfortable to communicate in?
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I want to thank you so much, Ashley Chang, for being on the show. And if is there one message that you want to give to our listening audience?
Don't be afraid to ask. I think a lot of the resources we have available are readily available for you. We are really primarily here for people who are looking for work, looking to make meaningful living, and we're here to upskill you.
Excellent. Well, once again, Ashley Chang, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Marilyn, for having us.
All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity. If you know someone who speaks a different language, maybe is an immigrant and is looking for work, this is a perfect opportunity to avail them, tell them about this program and get them involved. Coming up next, we will be speaking with Ash Hoyle for the Jewish Film Festival. So please stay tuned.
1789. How does the bastard, orphan, immigrant, decorated war vet unite the colonies through more debt? Fight the other founding fathers till he has to forfeit. Have it all, lose it all. You ready for more yet? Treasury Secretary Washington's the president. Every American experiment sets a precedent. Not so fast. Someone came along to resist him. Pissed him off until we had a two-party system. You haven't met him yet. You haven't had the chance. Cause he's been kicking ass as the ambassador to France. But someone's gotta keep the American promise. You simply must meet Thomas. Thomas!
There is no more status quo, but the sun comes up and the world still spins. I helped Lafayette draft a declaration, then I said I gotta go. I gotta be in Monticello. Now the work at home begins. So what did I miss? What did I miss? Virginia, my home sweet home, I wanna give you a kiss. I've been in Paris meeting lots of different ladies. I guess I basically missed the late 80s. I traveled the wide, wide world and came back to this. There's a letter on my desk from the president. Haven't even put my bag down yet. Sally BLM, darling, won't you open it? It says the president's assembling a cabinet, and then I end up being the Secretary of State. Great, and I'm already Senate approved. I just got home and now I'm headed up to New York.
Headed to New York, headed to New York.
Looking at the rolling fields, I can't believe
that we are free.
Ready to face whatever's awaiting
me in NYC.
But who's waiting for me when I step into place? My friend James Madison, red in the face. He grabs my arm and I respond.
Thomas, we are engaged in a battle for our nation's very soul. Can you get us out of the mess we're in? Hamilton's new financial plan is nothing less than government control. I've been fighting for the South alone. Where have you been?
France.
We have to win. Well, what did I miss?
Think of something to say. I'm already on my way to get to the bottom of this.
What did I miss?
Mr. Jefferson, welcome home.
Mr. Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton.
Mr. Jefferson, welcome home.
Mr. Jefferson, welcome home, sir. You've been off in Paris for so long.
So what did I miss?
One of my favorite songs from Hamilton. It's What Did I Miss? You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, Jewish Film Festival is just around the corner. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome Ash Hoyle. Hello.
Hey there. How's it going?
It's going great. How about you?
Well, we're really excited. We're getting ready to kick off our festival on Thursday, so busy preparing.
Well, I saw that you have a very long pedigree when it comes to film, so I'm just going to let you tell our listening audience what gives you the bona fides to talk about the Jewish Film Festival.
Sure thing, sure thing. Yeah, I'm really glad to be joining the team this year. It's my first time working for the festival and stepping in as the guest festival director in the absence of Jay Rosenblatt, who is gone off to pursue his already Academy Award nominated filmmaking career.
Wow.
My main job is as one of the curators of the Sundance Film Festival, and I've worked at lots of festivals all over the country, both, you know, affinity festivals like this one and otherwise. So I'm really proud to be able to bring my work and my experience and my contacts and some of these films to the Bay Area this summer.
Very cool. So what films are you bringing to the film festival?
We haven't enough time to go through such a large kaleidoscopic program. We've got over 60 films, 60 programs that we're going to present this summer over our almost 3 weeks. So it's really wide ranging, but maybe I can just tell you about our bookends, our opening and closing night.
Sure, good. Sure.
Yeah, we're kicking off on Thursday, July 18th, like I said, with a 6:30 show at the Palace of Fine Arts. That's a new venue for us, and it's a majestic, beautiful theater. We're really excited to be starting the festival there. And this is going to be the Bay Area premiere of a film called Shari and Lamb Chop about the legendary children's television star Shari Lewis and her beautiful sheep puppet, mm-hmm. Lamb Chop. Really interesting movie about, you know, not only an important piece of television history, but also about, you know, a woman using a really creative, artistic approach to expressing her voice and meeting the moment that she's in. And so we're really excited that we're going to be joined by the director of that film, Lisa Diapolito, who's a festival alumni. Mm-hmm. She was with us a couple years ago with a film called Love, Gilda, which is a favorite of mine. People may remember that documentary about Gilda Radner.
Oh, yeah.
And we're also going to be joined by one of the participants in the film, Mallory Lewis, and Lamb Chop, the puppet herself. So it's going to be a really exciting night.
Now, I grew up with Shari Lewis and Lamb Chop, and then as an adult, I remember hearing that actually sometimes the set was a little blue, but I only, you know, as a kid, you only saw.
Yeah.
But I loved Lamb Chop, and, you know.
Oh, she's a star. She's a star. I can't believe she'll be here. I'm, you know, starstruck all night.
So that's your opening night. Now, and then you're going to talk about the closing night.
Yes, please. We're going to close out the festival, the San Francisco portion of the festival at the Palace of Fine Arts as well. Mm-hmm. And that'll take place on Sunday, July 28th at 8 p.m. This is a presentation of a film called Sabbath Queen by Sandy Dubowski. It's another documentary Mm-hmm. You might remember Sandy, who's had films at the festival and widely available, one in particular called Trembling Before God that was really an affecting mm-hmm. documentary portrait as well. And this one he's been making for almost 20 years, a really, really long-term project about Emma Lou LaVie, who's a drag queen, rabbi extraordinaire, really pushing the boundaries with his God-optional, artist-driven pop-up congregation. Really just interesting, iterative, new way of looking at religiosity and Judaism that we're really excited to present the West Coast premiere of. This film was just at Tribeca Film Festival, so they're really riding a hot buzz, and we're excited to be able to present it.
Wow. And what's that called again?
Sabbath Queen.
Wow. Now, I'm a big fan of kooky films, so do you have any kooky films in your lineup?
Kooky films. Love a fan of kooky films. We are ourselves over here as well. Yeah, I'll call out one film that's really very kooky and interesting, which is also a world premiere. Uh-huh. We're bringing two world premieres and two sneak previews or work in progress screenings to the festival this year. So we're really excited to be able to present, you know, pretty cutting edge stuff in the industry to our audiences this summer. And the kookiest film in the lineup, by far for sure, is our Next Wave Spotlight, which is a film called www.rachelormont.com. This is directed by Peter Vack, and like I said, this will be the world premiere. We're going to show at the Roxy on Thursday, July 25th at 9 p.m. It's an almost indescribably kooky film starring Chloe Cherry and Betsy Brown. And the best I can say about it is it's a really strange, very singular look at online culture that is actually kooky and insane and provocative, but also pretty insightful about this sort of moment that we're in, the generation that's coming up. Really cool stuff.
And that is that Thursday, July 25th? Is that when that one is?
Yes.
Okay.
At the Roxy, which is really, it's a venue we're really quite fans of.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Does there tend to be a theme, you know, above Jewish, or is it just, you know, Jewish film?
Great question. I mean, the answer, I'm proud to say, is kind of no, because the point is, you know, every year, hopefully, our program has something for everyone. And so when we're approaching the programming process, we're really looking at being balanced and thorough and wide-ranging, like I said, like a kaleidoscope. So really, truly, whatever kinds of films you like, whatever kinds of issues you think you want to sort of think about or have conversations about through the festival, there is one or more films that's going to be a vehicle for you to be able to do that. So we've really got things all over the map. We've got fiction, we've got nonfiction, we've got shorts, we've got features, and we've got even some comedy performances and more conversationally based presentations. Something for everyone, for sure.
Okay, well, now you've thrown down the gauntlet. I have to pick it up. So,
yes.
Horror film. You have any scary movies? Ha!
That's a great question. And maybe one of our slightest gaps. And the best thing I could say for people who are looking for maybe midnight audience stuff, one film that is really a fun one is called Day Trippers. This one we're showing at the Roxy as part of our Next Wave lineup. Uh-huh. That one's going to play on Wednesday, July 24th at 9 p.m. It's an Israeli fiction feature, but it's an English language movie about two strangers who form an unlikely bond while taking mushrooms in Amsterdam together.
Okay.
Really fun and kooky. And then another Israeli fiction feature that might fit the bill, this one's kind of a law enforcement thriller called Highway 65, and it's making its way through the circuit right now. It's a really impressive sort of feature drama. And this will be the North American premiere of that movie. Again, it follows a cop who gets really involved with some of her investigative methods. And that's going to play at the Vogue on Friday, July 19th at 6 p.m. And again, actually, in the Piedmont, on Tuesday, July 30th, also at 6 p.m. So it's if you're looking for a thriller, Highway 65 is the way to go.
And I see that you also have like a silent film in the lineup. Breaking Home.
Thank you for mentioning that. This is, like I said, part of just the wide breadth of things that we are doing at the festival this year. We're actually presenting a restoration of Breaking Home Ties, which is a film originally from 1922 that was restored. And is going to be actually live scored when we present it at the festival. So people are going to be able to come and enjoy the silent film, but also, you know, live musical performance, which is really nice. And that'll play at the Vogue on Tuesday, July 23rd at 6:30 p.m.
Now, I know that you're probably excited about all the films, but was there one that came across your desk that you thought, wow, I'm blown away by this. I want to make sure everybody knows about this one.
Totally. And thank you for asking. I'd actually say the one thing that really sticks out to me and was really exciting to watch was a documentary that we're presenting in a local spotlight slot. And this is a film called Canceled, The Story of Cancel Culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my line of work, you see a lot of movies. And these days you see a lot of movies about this specific topic. Mm-hmm. But Fern Perlstein, who directed this film, I think did a really good job of just engaging with this topic in a way that is open-hearted and nuanced and actually pretty funny and bold. And we're excited to present the California premiere of that film called Canceled, which will be preceded by a stand-up set by Judy Gold, a legendary Jewish comedian. So that night is something that I'm just so thrilled about, so looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And that'll be presented at the Palace of Fine Arts, the Majestic Theater, on Saturday, July 27th at 8 p.m.
Very cool. And then I'm just looking through your program, and I see one called Ain't No Back to a Merry-Go-Round. Is that a documentary? Is it a fiction? What is that?
Yeah, this is a documentary film about the way that Jewish students worked with folks who are part of the civil rights movements in the 60s. It's a historical documentary by Alana Trachman. And what's really cool about this film is that it's one of the films that is in the festival this year that was supported by the Jewish Film Institute through our various artist development and funding and granting work that goes on year round outside of the festival. Mm-hmm. So we love this movie, and we're also really excited about how it kind of tells the story of the Jewish Film Institute itself and the way that we're hoping to help develop these exciting works as well as exhibit and present them. But this is a great documentary. If you're interested in any of these subjects, it certainly is a really interesting sort of portrait of a little known piece of interracial peace activist history. Mm-hmm. And that one's going to play at the Vogue on Thursday, July 25th at 1 o'clock, and again at the Piedmont on Wednesday, July 31st, also at 1 o'clock. So a couple opportunities to catch that in San Francisco and in the Bay.
Now, we as San Franciscans, we love our film festivals.
Yes.
Is it at all humanly possible to see every film?
Gosh, great question. Yes.
Really?
That's what's really cool about SFJFF. Yes, it's totally possible. You would have to spend probably a great deal of time and a little bit of cash. But we mostly stay in about one theater a day, and things are laid out so that you can absolutely do that. And honestly, we hope that people do come join us for more than one screening, for more than one film, and to see sort of how, you know, the program starts to speak to itself. Because all of these films are really in conversation with each other, and hopefully soon we'll be in conversation with our audiences. So we encourage people to double back, circle around, see this and that, and see what kind of conversation sort of is coming together.
Very cool. Very cool. And I see that you have Teaches of Peaches on your lineup. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, way cool, right? I mean, certainly something we thought would have a draw to audiences here in the Bay. And it just presented at Frameline. So we're excited to have it back again. If you missed it there, you can catch it here, which is really great. Mm-hmm. This is a German doc, although, like I said, this one, too, is also an English language film documentary about, of course, legendary artist Peaches. Mm-hmm. And it follows her latest tour, which is a celebration of her most iconic album's 20th anniversary. So it's got this sort of great way of showing you both sort of what she's doing in the contemporary landscape and also looking back at her career and the history of her work and what she's sort of meant as an artist. And look, I mean, she is just as entertaining as ever. It feels like a treasure to be able to spend time with her through this movie. So we hope you'll join us in doing so. This is part of our Next Wave strain that's going to be presented all at the Roxy. So this one will play the Roxy on Wednesday, July 24th at 6:30 p.m. Definitely, if you have any connection to Peaches, it's not one to miss. It's a great look at her life.
Cool. Now, I'm looking at the program online, which is amazing, but it's always good to have a physical copy of the program. So where can people find physical copies of the program?
Great question. And yes, we're really, really excited to have returned to doing a printed program this year. We love that there's a way for people to have an artifact in their hand reminding them of, you know, what we're doing here at the festival. So definitely at any of our venues, you can pick up one of these beautiful printed programs that I have right here in front of me, actually. And those venues are the Roxy Theater, like I mentioned, the Vogue Theater, like I mentioned, the Palace of Fine Arts, like I mentioned, the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco, the Piedmont Theater, Landmark Piedmont Theater in Oakland, and then also Urban Adama. And there are actually various restaurant partners and different sort of community centers that have copies as well. So if you're a Jay subscriber, you got one in the middle of your last edition. If you are attending some of the restaurant partners that we're working with this year, you've probably seen one around. So keep your eyes up, and that'll also help you identify who are community partners. But yeah, definitely our official venues will be great places to swing by.
And will we be able to pick one up at like the San Francisco Public Library?
Great question, and I don't know. I'll circle back.
Okay.
To
okay.
You and your listeners.
Okay. Well, if people want to find out more about the wide range of movies that you offer, and if they want to get tickets, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, we'd love if you could visit us online at sfjff.org. That's sfjff.org. That'll show you the entire program, the schedule of all of our screenings. It'll present also all of our events and pass and ticket offerings. So go ahead, surf the web, see anything that might appeal to you on our online program guide. And then to buy tickets, you can do that right through our website or by calling 415-621-0568 or emailing boxoffice@sfjff.org. We've got lots of folks ready, willing, and able to help you attend the festival this year.
Awesome. Well, I just want to thank you, Ash Hoyle, for being on the show today. And it sounds like an amazing lineup. And I know people are going to be excited that they actually can see everything if they just try.
Thank you. Thank you for saying so. Thank you for having me. Thanks to all of you for listening. And please do join us at the festival this summer, July 18th to August 4th.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, people of Earth, you heard it. July 18th through August, did you say 4th?
Course. Yep.
Yeah. So that's the San Francisco Jewish Film Festival 44. There's loads of movies. And like I said, we San Franciscans would love our film festival. So, you know, see you there. Okay. Let's listen. You know, I went to the Reef Help Is On The Way, and Faith Prince sang this song, and I love it. So I'm going to play it for you.
It says here in this book, the average unmarried female, basically insecure, due to some long frustration, may react with psychosomatic symptoms, difficult to endure, affecting the upper respiratory tract. In other words, just from waiting around for that plain little band of gold, a patient can develop a cold. You could spray her wherever you figure the streptococci like. You can give her a shot for whatever she's got, but it just won't work. If she's tired of getting that fish eye from the hotel clique, a patient can develop a cold. It says here, the female remaining single, just in the legal sense, shows a neurotic tendency. See note, fancy note. Chronic organic syndromes, toxic or hypertense, involving the eye, the ear, the nose, and throat. In other words, just from wondering whether the wedding is on a roof, a patient can develop a cough. You can feed her all day with the vitamin A and the bromo fizz, but the medicine never gets anywhere near where the trouble is. If she's getting a kind of a name for herself and the name ain't his, a patient can develop a cough. And furthermore, just from stalling and stalling and stalling the wedding trip, a patient can develop la grippe. When they get on the train for Niagara and she can hear church bells chime, the compartment is air-conditioned and the mood sublime. Then they get off at Saratoga for the 14th time. A patient can develop la grippe, la grippe, la post-nasal drip, with the wheezes and the sneezes and a sinus that's really a pip, from a lack of community property and a feeling she's getting too old. A patient can develop a bad, bad cold.
That's Vivian Blaine and Adelaide's Lament from Guys and Dolls. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Who's going to touch your mind right now? I'd like to welcome someone that is called Mean Dave. Welcome.
Hello. Great to be here.
Now, how'd you get to be called Mean Dave? Are you going to be mean to me?
It's just a nickname from it kind of stemmed from an old band of mine. And when I got into comedy, it was to help promote the band, and then the band broke up.
Mm-hmm. But the comedy stuck.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not so much indicative of my comedy. My opening line is, my name is Mean Dave. It's a nickname. It's short for Meaningful David.
So, I like that. How long have you been doing comedy?
14 years now.
Wow. Now, when you first started out, because I saw something that said, like, you know, when you're a comedian, you just have to have faith that you are going to be good because you don't start out good. Is that mm-hmm. true?
Oh, very true. I had a false sense of confidence thinking performance experience in music for like 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And the character of Mean Dave stemmed from my band, that I would transition easier into comedy, and that couldn't have been further from the truth. So yeah, it's a whole other instrument you got to learn and start from scratch, which I did, but yeah, and I was able to kind of carve out my voice, if you will, and the name I kind of just stuck because it's a good misdirection, but also some of my comedy tends to lean into kind of the dark, cynical mindset. So,
okay, so like I like dark comedy. So, how far do you go? How deep into the
far,
abyss?
Distance wise, or
how far into the abyss do you go?
Oh, it depends. I just read the crowd. I don't just go there deliberately.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, the show I'm promoting and the things I'm doing this week is on the side. So, but I'm also a recovering addict and alcoholic in 12-step recovery. So it's kind of good to, you know, if anybody who's been in any of those kinds of experiences knows that, you know, there's darkness there, but there's a lot of humor there in the shared experience of, the human condition. So you know, it just really depends. Like I got some jokes just more stemming from, like, you know, Bart and just some sort of, you know, like you said, this level of thinking, but you read a crowd, you know, if
mm-hmm.
the crowd's more upbeat and wanting to enjoy themselves in a lighter spirit, I have jokes for that. And if there's a crowd that I kind of consense can go on a darker journey with me, I'll lean into that.
And how do you read that as a comedian?
Yeah, you watch the show sometimes. I mean, most of the time I will, but But it depends on like opening lines. You kind of get a sense of the crowd. Mm. It just comes with experience. I couldn't really explain it.
Sure.
You just laugh at, kind of see how they laugh, and just get a sense for what kind of tickles them.
Okay. So your phone's sort of going in and out a little bit. So we're going.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. But just letting you know, maybe you know. Freeze in place. So you're taking part in the Fiesta Cultural, and it's a week-long celebration. So tell our listeners about that.
Yes. Fiesta Cultural is actually, it's an all-week event starting on Wednesday. They'll have daily events. Wednesday, they have Ballet Hispanico. Thursday, it's Lucky Diaz and the Family Jam Band. Friday, they have two events. There's the Summer Sounds with Chica D and the Spanish Harlem Orchestra. And then the final event is an all-day Fiesta Cultural Street Fair on Saturday around the Lesher Arts Center.
Oh, cool.
And then Saturday evening to end the whole week is the Best of San Francisco Stand-Up Comedy Latinx Edition.
Wow. And are you blanketing the whole thing? Well, are you just doing a one day, where do you fit into the lineup?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be the MC for the Fiesta Cultural Street Fair. So I'll be there all day introducing acts throughout the area of the events. And then I'm hosting the Best of San Francisco Stand-Up Comedy Show.
Wow. So tell us a little, have you done that before?
I've not done this particular event before, but I have. I've been a regular performer for Best of SF show. I'm friends with the producer, and he's. I actually used to work for him and help him run the show when it was at his old spot in San Francisco, and then in the last, I think, year, maybe two, he's been running shows at the Lesher Arts Center.
Okay, so I'm, you know, my brain, because I'm not very bright. So you're doing some things in San Francisco, some things at the Lesher Center.
Oh no! This whole entire event will be at the around the Lesher Arts Center.
Okay,
which is in Walnut Creek.
Right. Okay, and that starts Wednesday, you say?
Wednesday, yeah, kicks off Wednesday, and like I said, Ballet Hispanico, Lucky Diaz. And the Family Jam Band Thursday, Summer Sounds and Spanish Harlem Orchestra Friday. Summer Sounds Chica D is Thursday. There's two events on Thursday, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spanish Harlem Orchestra is on Friday, and the Fiesta Cultural Street Fair and Comedy Show are on Saturday. So,
and who are some of the comedians that will be there, and have you ever performed with them before?
Oh, totally. You know, they're all people I'm good friends with and have worked with. The show has, I'm hosting, and it has an all-Latin lineup. Ashley Monique, Frida Sierra, Alejandro Ochoa, and Rudy Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're Bay Area favorites.
Okay, and you've worked with them. Like what's their brand of humor?
They're all over the place. They're all great comics. I've worked with all of them. Ashley is kind of one of the newer faces.
Mm-hmm.
She came to the Bay from Sacramento, but she's been killing it all over. Alejandro Ochoa is, I've known him since he started. A great comic. He's a regular at the Punchline, as I am, and in Cobb's Comedy Club. Frida Sierra is an awesome comedian and one of my best friends who's performed all over the Bay Area and the country. And has a really, really amazing style of comedy. And then Rudy Ortiz is probably our most established comic. He's been working a lot, featuring for Frankie Quinones, who is one of the stars of This Fool that was on Hulu.
Okay.
And he's also known for his Cholo Fit videos on the internet, very popular comic. So, and Rudy Ortiz is like the guy that works with him and travels across the country with him all the time.
Very cool. So after you get done with the Fiesta Cultural, what shows do you have in the offing?
Oh, I'm all over the place. I run a couple regular shows in the Bay Area. A couple are at some like cigar lounges that are like every few months. But the regular shows I mostly run, one is tonight actually at Vinny's Bar and Grill in Concord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like every third Monday. And then
what is that?
Help out at Oh, it's just a fun comedy show of locals. It's kind of like more of a kind of more your newer comics, inexperienced comics, and some experienced features. It's not an open mic, but it's like kind of a step above an open mic. And I enjoy running it because I like helping new comics kind of find their place to learn how to get better. And that's what Vinny's Bar and Grill kind of gives us, a really cool venue to do that. And I've been running that show for about 10 years. And then the other show that I help run is at the Bistro every first Thursday of the month in the Bistro in Hayward. It's actually a show that my friend Sean Boyles used to run for many years, and unfortunately he passed away last year. So me and a few friends, Sarah Jambruno and Ivy Cordova, we all help carry on his legacy at that place and run a show there that's always a lot of fun.
Very cool. Very cool. So I know that there are people who listen to the show who actually are aspiring comics. So let's go back to Vinny's Bar and Grill, because you say you're doing a show tonight. So what time is that?
Well, that's at 7:30 p.m. And if there's new comics and if you're ever interested in trying to perform there, you can find me at mean_Dave on Instagram, or you can, look me up on Facebook or something and send me a message. I'm happy to have, newer people that don't book brand like their first set kind of comics, but if they've, gone to some open mics, I'm happy to book them, because Vinny's is a fun place because it's not an easy place. And that's where you learn. You learn how to get better in kind of the tougher environments. And it's not like it's a rowdy crowd or anything. It's just a venue where it's a Monday show. It's a show on Monday. It's free, and it's in Concord. And if you've been to Concord, it's not the easiest crowds out there. But they're fun. There's a lot of fun, and we get a lot of love there. And we actually we do have great shows there.
So you're saying there are no pity laughs. If they laugh, it's because you're actually funny.
Exactly. Yeah. It's and they're always. They're fair when it comes to, like, if somebody doesn't do well, no one's making fun of them or making them feel bad. It's they're kind of like, hey, you gave it your best, that kind of thing.
Sure. So what's Vinny's, what is the address?
Oh, the address, I don't, funny enough, I don't know it by heart, but it's in the downtown square.
Oh, okay.
It's on Mount Diablo and Pacheco, I think, is the intersections where it's at. But anybody who knows Concord, if you just look up Vinny's Bar and Grill, you'll be able to find it. It's a pretty well-known venue. They have a variety of events there, a lot of music acts and stuff that come through there.
Okay. And then back to the Fiesta Cultural, just a reminder once more for our listening audience, when and where for the festival when will you be
all
there?
Of the events should take place in or around the Lesher Arts Center. For more information, look up lesherartcenter.org, and you can go there and find out more information on each event, the tickets, prices, if they're ticketed events. Some of them are free, some of them are ticketed. And then Fiesta Cultural, the street fair on Saturday, it will take place around Lesher Arts Center. So they're in various different stages, but they'll be surrounding that area. And the events of that day, we have student performances from My Spanish Village and Escuela Bilingue International and the San Rafael High School Jazz Combo. We have some dance from Folklorio Colibri, Chavalos, Danzas por Nicaragua. We also have a carnival pop-up dance party, and then music from Elena and Son de la Tierra, and then more dance from Ballet Folklorio Netzahualcoyotl. I think I got the name right. And then another carnival pop-up party. And then the last music act is Bululu. And then at the end of the night is the Best of San Francisco comedy show. And I highly recommend, if you want to go to the comedy show, to get your tickets now, because that show tends to sell out on any given night. And this one most likely will sell out.
And where do they get tickets once more?
It's at lesherartcenter.org. So if you just go to the website there and look up the events, you'll be able to find the link to buy tickets.
And if people want to come see you somewhere or just stalk you on the down low, how do they go about doing that?
Oh, easy. I'm on Instagram at mean_. If you just search Mean Dave, I'll be the first one that pops up. I post my show dates every week for where I'm at, put a flyer up, and then I share the flyers for the actual shows as well if I have one. And also, you can find me on YouTube, youtube.com at Mean Dave, and I have a regular YouTube podcast-style show. It's called Meaningful Times with Friends, and we put that out like every 2 weeks. We just uploaded an episode today, as a matter of fact. And it's just a show with some of my oldest friends who always make me laugh. And we talk about a variety of topics. And we've been doing it for about a year now and have a lot of fun doing it.
Very cool. Well, Mean Dave, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you for having me.
All right, people of Earth, there's lots of stuff going on in and around the city, in and around the Bay Area, in and around California. We got locked down for so long, and now we can go out and enjoy the world. So go out and enjoy the world. I'm about to go out and enjoy the world. I'm going to leave you with some Celia Cruz. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
Un pajarillo en su jaula, vuela sin